Before I pray, I want to let you know I'm super excited because today is not just the calling of Jeremiah, but today is setting up for the next 4 weeks talking about the book of Jeremiah and going through Jeremiah's story and where God was with Jeremiah and the ups and downs. We don't spend a lot of time in the prophets. I think we get kind of weary of the prophets and some of the language that's used and kind of some of the scary stuff. And so I wanted to take and cover quite a bit of one book. And so we're going to do 5 weeks of Jeremiah. And I am super excited as I've got them all plotted out and what I'm covering each week. And I pray that you will be excited with me because this is a really good book in the Bible to spend some time with. And so with that, I invite you to go to God in prayer with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So before I get into Jeremiah, I want to tell you something. 2 months ago, I decided to sign my Madison Joy up for AYSO soccer. This will be her first like AYSO experience. She just did like rec soccer for the city of Lomita and right at the very end actually got into it and decided to start playing soccer. And I said, all right, you're starting to have fun with soccer. Why don't we sign you up for a full season? She was playing on an all-boys team. I said, you get to play with girls? And reluctantly, she kind of said, yeah, Mom, I'll give it a try. She's been reluctant on all sports despite me pushing her. And so I signed her up for AYSO. And I don't know if you've ever signed a kid up for sport, but what do? You sign them up, and then you wait for the phone call or email that says, hey, I'm your child's coach. You're on my team. Here's when practices are, right? And so I was waiting because one of them is with schedules. It's like, all right, when are practices going to be, and how much is it going to be to try to get her to all these practices, right? So I'm waiting. And about a month ago, I got an email, not from a coach, but from the coordinator of her age division. Hey, 10 U parents, just to let you know, we got 7 teams, but only 4 parents that have said they'd coach. Any of you willing to coach? All right. I know nothing about soccer except kick the ball, and you're supposed to get it into the goal. By what I've watched on TV, not many people actually get it in the goal. Amen? Okay. That's about as much as I know. I know nothing about the art of how you're supposed to kick the ball, none of that. So I'm like, I'm out for coaching. I don't know the sport well enough. I wouldn't do a good enough job of teaching them the basic skills that they're trying to learn at 8 and 9 years old. My time is a little precious. I got 3 kids. I got a whole church. I got all of this. And you know what? The last time I coached, I do enjoy coaching, but the last time I coached was 8 and 9 year old girls. And I learned that the coaches of 8 and 9 year old girls can be cutthroat. And they took such advantage of me. I said, I'm never doing this to little girls again, of having me that's so innocent thinking we're all in this for the fun of it. Okay. So I'm like, I got 4 really good reasons of why I should not respond to this email and said I'm willing to coach. Okay. These are all good, legitimate reasons, right? Say yes. All right. Thank you for supporting me. So I ignored that email. Said, I'm just going to patiently wait for that phone call of another parent that knows this sport that will call and say, I've got your daughter on my team. So we go on vacation, and I come back from vacation, and I've got a voicemail. And I pick up the voicemail, and what is it? But, hey, it's Angela, the coordinator of 10 U's, and your daughter's on a team, but it's a team without a coach. Any chance you're willing to coach? What does my brain do? Reason 1, 2, 3, 4, ignore voicemail, right? Somebody else is going to step up. It's not going to be me. There's too many reasons why I should not coach this team, okay? Ignore. And then after I ignore this voicemail, I get back to the office, and I'm like, hey, let's look at my plans and remember what I'm preaching on Sunday, okay? Because I went on vacation, I left all work behind. I didn't even pay attention to what I was going to preach when I get home. And so I get into the office, and I look at my notes, and I'm like, the calling of Jeremiah and all his reasons why he shouldn't go. I love God's sense of humor, because this is just what Jeremiah did, right? And Jeremiah, I have to tell you, here's an unusual book, because if you read the 3 verses that I skipped, it tells you the exact year that this is happening. Most books in the Bible don't give you exact years, but here it says the exact year of the reign, the word of God came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. So we're talking about the kingdom of Judah, when God's people were split into two kingdoms, and the 13th year of Josiah's reign. So we could go back into Kings and see exactly what's happening, and I'll tell you, it's not good stuff that was happening. God's people were having a little bit of trouble obeying God and staying sinless and doing what they were supposed to do, and God wasn't so thrilled with them. So God said, I need a prophet. I need somebody that's going to be my voice, that's going to tell them, hey, bad things are about to happen, and it's going to come from God because you're not being obedient. So God goes, who am I going to pick? Who am I going to pick? Who am I going to pick? And he sees Jeremiah. And we see in verses 1 through 3, who's Jeremiah? But Jeremiah is the son of a priest, okay? So this is somebody who's raised right there near the temple, that's raised where he can see what's going on in the leadership of God's people from that perspective, okay? We call him a PK, a priest kid. They're their own classification of people, right? They're the only ones that know what it's like to be a priest or a pastor's kids, right? Right, Wilma? Wilma's got a big smile. She's a pastor's kid, okay? So Jeremiah's a priest's kid, and I'm calling a kid because he's young. And how do I know that he's young? Because when God says, hey, Jeremiah, I need you to be my prophet, Jeremiah immediately turns to him and says, God, I can't. I'm too young to speak up. You need adults to hear this message of yours, and I am in no position to speak to them because I am too young and I have too little life experience. Those in Jeremiah's mind are two very legitimate reasons of why he shouldn't be a prophet. Go pick somebody that's married with kids, that knows this stuff, that people are going to respect, that they'll say, okay, that's somebody to listen to. Jeremiah's saying, not me. And we've all been in this position, haven't we? When somebody calls and says, I need you to step up and volunteer. When the pastor calls and says, I need you to serve on a committee, right? Everybody goes, what are my top three reasons of why I say no? Okay? When those calls have come, better yet, when God's tapped on your shoulder and said, I need you, our typical response is, not me, there's somebody else. There's somebody that's older. There's somebody that's younger. There's somebody that's more experienced. There's somebody that has more skills. There's somebody that has more time. There's somebody that knows more people. There's somebody else that's better to do this than me. We've all been in Jeremiah's shoes. We've all said no and had all of our legitimate reasons of why we say no. But here's the thing about God. God doesn't take no very well. You want to know how God doesn't take no very well? Just go ask Jonah, right? He got to spend 3 days in a belly of a whale hearing God's no and being convinced to say yes, right? And here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah says, no, I can't do this. I'm too young. If he could really say it, he'd probably say, go ask Dad. He's a priest. He's built for this, right? He knows your word. But God looks at Jeremiah and says, I've called you because you're the one. What's the exact words that God says? Before he says no, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I'm calling you because I built you for this. I designed you to do this job. When I knitted you together in your mother's womb, I knitted you with all the parts that were needed to do just this, and now it's time. When Jeremiah, despite those words, says no, the Lord says, do not say I'm too young. Don't give me your excuses. Don't give me the reasons that you can't when I'm telling you that you can and you need to. You got to go wherever I send you and say whatever I command. And then he challenges him and says, do not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of who you're going to have to speak to. Don't be afraid of who's going to contest you, who's going to argue with you, who's not going to like the things you have to say. For I am with you and will rescue you. Now, here's some important words here. I will rescue you. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to see that this job that Jeremiah takes isn't always the easiest of jobs. That he's going to run into some real trouble and some real problems, and it's going to take some real persistence, some real grit, okay? And it's going to take a whole lot of faith. But God says when you run into that trouble, when you run into those people that give you a hard time, God says, I'm going to be the one to rescue you from it. I'm going to be the one to pull you from the trouble. I'm the one that's going to make sure you get through all of that. God says, rely on me. Now, how do we know that this works? I'm going to go back to AYSO for a second. And I will tell you, full truth, I never said yes to coaching. God bless. 2 days ago, I got an email. Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm your daughter's coach. And I said, oh, hallelujah, praise God. But with all of that begging for coaches, back in my head, I remembered at registration, they said they also really need referees. And I live in a job where I depend on volunteers, right? There's one of me, and there's 300 of you that volunteer, and that's how this church runs. I know the importance of volunteers, and I said, okay, I really can't coach. I really don't feel comfortable with that. But maybe this reffing's something I can do. I can learn rules and blow a whistle and hold up a flag. Okay. So I signed up and said, okay, I'll referee. And I went through 3 hours of online training, y'all. 3 hours of online training. And then I went through 3 hours of classroom training, having to practice holding up the flag, okay? And learning, you hold up the flag and then you hold it that way, right? 3 hours. And at the end of 3 hours online, passing all my tests, and after the end of 3 hours in the classroom with the head referee learning all of the rules and practicing and everything, they said, you've got all of the knowledge you need. Here's the rule book to keep learning these rules. Here's a bag. It's got your uniform in it, your whistle, your red and yellow card that you will need, your coin for the flip, your whistle. Here's everything to be able to go out there and help these kids have a safe, fair, and fun experience this soccer season. And I looked at all of that and I said, they gave me the knowledge, the training, the equipment. And then they also said, we are always around that field to mentor you. If you have any questions or concerns or run into any trouble, we'll be right there to help you because we want you to be successful in your job helping us out. And I went back to this passage with Jeremiah. And it says, and the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said, I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. God says, I've put all my training in you. I give you all the equipment that you need. And I will always be right there to help you. How in the world could I ever trust the people of AYSO to equip me and go out to do a job that they call me to and not do the same with God? To trust that when God gives me a job, that when God calls me to step up, that God's not going to do the same of giving me what I need and being right there with me. See, we're in a time where God needs each and every one of us. That if you are sitting here, God is upon you. And God is saying, I have knit you in your mother's womb. I know all of the gifts and skills and talents that I gave you. I know you better than you could ever know yourself. And I need you right now. I have put a voice in you. I have given you a heart and hands and feet. And I'm calling those to use. I'm calling you to be used for my glory, for my good, and for the help of those around you. Don't believe me? Open up the news. Look at our prayer cards. We are deep in need of God's people. And one of the biggest things, like Jeremiah, that's needed right now are voices. Voices of courage to stand up and speak. Voices of courage that when they see something that's wrong or unjust, to be willing to say something. And I know it's easy to have excuses because I'm so upset by so many things in this world. And I keep my mouth shut because I'm afraid of upsetting people. I'm afraid of polarizing. I'm afraid of people thinking I'm on one side or the other. So I just stay silent. And I call it neutrality. But maybe now's a time to speak. Maybe now's a time when each of us needs to speak. If we got 150 of us in here, there's 150 things that need somebody to speak and stand up for. 150 people that are outside of this sanctuary that are waiting for somebody to speak up and to stand up for them. There's a world out there that needs us to be like Jeremiah. And God is telling us there's no such thing as too old or too young, too experienced, too overburdened, too busy. There's no excuse. The opposite side of excuse is faith. Jeremiah heard what God said. And after giving his excuses and his reasons, Jeremiah stepped up and was an incredible prophet for God. And what do I see in here? I see incredible people of God. And I see that God has blessed you with God's Holy Spirit, that God has blessed you with a heart filled with God's words. And I pray that you will find a space to cut out the noise of the world and to spend time just with God, listening for God's voice, listening to find out what it is that God's needing from you right now that nobody else can do, that nobody else is in a position to accomplish, that nobody else has just the right words to speak. And I pray that when that calling of God comes to you, that you will have the courage of Jeremiah to accept that calling, to see that God is with you, and to follow through with God's plans. It might not be easy. Did you see what it said in here? Sometimes those words require us to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, and to overthrow before we can build and plant and grow new things. My friends, today is the day for us to be the people of God, for us to go out into that world and speak the words of God and do the actions of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.